Let's continue reading verses 13 through 30 of Matthew chapter 19. Now, in the second half of Matthew 19, we have our Lord's blessing on the children, and then the account of the rich young ruler. Let's read verses 13 through 26. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Once again, some background notes. The events covered in this second half of Matthew chapter 19 took place in Perea, that is, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Remember, the Lord left the Galilee area and was on his way to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified. Somewhere along the way, he crossed over the Jordan River and traveled through Perea before crossing back again near Jericho. So somewhere in Perea, some children were brought to the Lord, and he blessed them. And somewhere in Perea, the rich young ruler came to the Lord and asked about obtaining eternal life. Now, in reference to the children, verse 14, the Lord said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." To use this scripture as a basis for baptizing infants or small children would be bad hermeneutics. That's bad interpretation, right? Young children can be baptized, but only when they receive Christ as their Savior and become Christians. No one is born a Christian, you become a Christian. Now, this scripture can be used, I believe, in support of the comforting doctrine that babies who die go to heaven and are part of the company of God's elect. Now, our two doctrinal points from this second half of Matthew chapter 19 will come from our Lord's conversation with the rich young ruler. But let's consider one further background note before we look at these doctrinal points. In verse 24, the Lord said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, there have been various interpretations of this eye of the needle: a narrow mountain pass, a small door within the large city gate. Most likely, the Lord had in mind the eye of a sewing needle. The Greek word that's used here for needle supports this straightforward meaning. The Lord was using hyperbole here to emphasize how hard it is for rich people to enter into the kingdom of God. Not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. Verse 26, but it is hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, aren't you glad that you're not rich? If you were rich, you might be hung up on your riches and never become a Christian. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, I am a Christian, so why can't I be rich too, right? Well, there are pitfalls for rich Christians as well. Read 1 Timothy chapter 6 in this connection. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this second half of Matthew chapter 19. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, the Lord tests the person who desires to be a true disciple. The Lord tests the person who desires to be a true disciple. We refer to the man who questioned the Lord about eternal life in verse 16 as the rich young ruler. Why? When we compare the parallel accounts in Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18 with what we have here in Matthew chapter 19, we find that the man was young and was rich and was a ruler, maybe a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. This man had a lot going for him, like a lot of people today. When the Lord indicated in verse 17 that only God was good, he was not denying his deity. No, he was testing the man to see if the man was willing to acknowledge that Jesus was more than just a good man. And when the Lord listed the commandments to keep, he was not explaining a different way of salvation from the rest of the New Testament. No, he was testing the man to see if the man was willing to admit he was a sinner. This man failed to keep even God's first commandment, which says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Money and material possessions were gods in this man's life. In order to further test this man's heart and expose his priorities, the Lord said in verse 21, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Again, not another way of salvation, but the Lord is testing this man, exposing his heart, exposing his true priorities. At this point, the man turned away from the Lord because he was unwilling to part with his money and material possessions. The rich young ruler's heart and priorities were fully exposed. Now let me ask you, suppose the Lord were to say to you this morning, "So you want to follow me? Here's what I want you to do. Go sell all that you have. Have a big garage sale. Sell it all. And don't try to rip anybody off either with a price. Instead, give all the money to the poor. And then come back and follow me." Suppose the Lord asks us to do that. Would we do it? I'll tell you, it would surely expose our hearts and reveal our priorities. Well, the Lord may not test us by asking us to sell all that we have and give everything away to the poor. But you can be sure that the Lord tests the person who desires to be a true disciple. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord rewards the person who proves to be a true disciple. The Lord rewards the person who proves to be a true disciple. Verses 27 through 30. "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?' So Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The Lord promised his disciples here that because they had sacrificed much to follow him, they would be rewarded in the regeneration. That is the restoration or renewal of all things. Our Lord was referring here in verse 28 to his future earthly kingdom, known as the millennium. "This is the time when the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with a goat," as we read in Isaiah chapter 11. "This is the time when the Lord will return to this earth. He will set up his glorious throne on this earth, and believers will reign with him." I'm reading Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4. Matthew 19, verse 28 here would indicate that during this millennial kingdom of Christ on this earth, the apostles will have a special place in the kingdom with respect to the nation of Israel at that time. In verse 29, the Lord did not mean that to be a committed disciple, you must forsake family responsibilities. No, far be the thought. The Lord was talking here about giving up the pleasures and benefits of marriage and family life for the sake of the kingdom. For example, I have a former student who, for the present time at least, has given up the idea of marriage and family life in order to serve the Lord on the foreign mission field of China. The Lord promises here that any disciple who gives up the normal blessings and benefits of this life in order to serve him more effectively, that person will be rewarded both in this life and in the life to come. Verse 30, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Verse 30 indicates that there are going to be a lot of surprises in the millennial kingdom and in heaven as far as rewards go. Christians who were well known and upfront, but didn't sacrifice much for the Lord, will not be rewarded much when compared to many unknown believers from around the world who have sacrificed much for the sake of Christ. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. The Lord rewards the person who proves to be a true disciple. Practical application. Bring your children to the Lord. Bring your children to the Lord. Let's go back to verses 13 and 14. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." These verses are filled with lessons for dealing with children, aren't they? Children are important. The disciples tended to think adults were more important, as we tend to do. Listen, the Sunday school classes going on right now are just as important as our service here. Children should be encouraged to come to the Lord. Don't hinder them. You see that lesson here? Never tell a child that he or she is too young to be saved. We saw back in chapter 18 that adults must become like children in order to be saved. But children don't have to become adults to be saved. Children can become believers at very young ages. And I know you could give me lots of testimonies here. Pray for your children and your grandchildren. You know, Margie and I pray for the salvation and Christian growth of each one of our grandchildren. Don't manipulate or pressure your children into making a false profession of faith, but do encourage them to make a true confession of faith. Bring your children to the Lord.